Get used to it, because it's the only way your heart can live with a solid peace. You have received a gift from God which is indescribable. In fact, this is what the Bible teaches. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Are you all glad you're here? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Paul says this, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." See, every gift I've ever received, I can describe it. I can describe that gift in Three Rivers, Michigan, you know, $800 and some or whatever it was. I can describe the gift. I can describe over the years, but I've had people, churches, that surprised me with gifts that overwhelmed me so we could build all these big campuses around the world. I always launch a vision with nothing. And then God stirs the hearts of his people, and I get something, gifts that amaze me. I remember when I was doing the Middle East Life Center. Your pastor was with me the year I bought it. He saw it by faith. I was broke, but your pastor was there. And I announced, this is what God's giving us. You know, for $1 million, he's giving it to us, you know. And I'll never forget going back and forth myself to Lebanon. Meeting with the people, with their lawyers and our board and our lawyer. And talking about buying this building for $1 million in 2009. And they never once asked me for a financial statement. They just believed I had the money. I just acted like I was loaded. Hallelujah. I just said, no, it's not a problem. This is what we can do. And they never asked me for a bank statement. And then I signed the deal and I flew back to America and I said, God, what in the world am I doing? You opened a door that's indescribable. It's a gift for the Middle East. But how in the world am I ever going to pay for it? And I'll never forget when I was back in the States, I got a text one time from a pastor. And he said, how you doing in the Middle East project? And I said, all is well. He said, do you have all the money that you need? I said, all is well. God's meeting the need. I didn't even tell him what I needed. And then he texted me something. He said, I'm going to send you $112K. K means thousand. I showed it to Heidi. I said, look at this. This guy said he's going to send $112K. So I texted him back and I said, okay, thank you. I didn't even make a big deal about it. And he sent the check, and the check was good. And I was able to help pay a portion, about 10% of the project, with one gift. Biggest gift I've ever gotten, but it's a describable gift. What God gives you in Christ is indescribable. To think that I can stand before the Father on my worst day, being as righteous as the Lamb. God, that's good news. You are that loved. Accept it. Believe that God gives you a gift. That gift wraps you. It's like a shrink wrap. It's everywhere you go, everywhere you move. You're a reflection of his life. You have received divine nature that pre-approves you eternally to the Father and grants you a gift called righteousness that is not based on you. It amazes me. I don't know how to explain it to people because it's indescribable. I don't have a human language to give utterance to the deepness of the love of the Father. But I know when it grips me. You know when it grips you. You know when you believe it. You know when you receive it. You know when his life becomes the truth of your reality. It's the gospel of the gift. It's an indescribable gift. And all you can do is say thank you. Thank you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. gift. You know what's so good about the gospel? You know, if you're trying to witness to people and tell them everything, what they got to do to get right, it's a hard sell. Because deep down in the hearts of every human being, you know in all your self-righteousness, you can't pre-approve yourself. It's got to be through the work of another. And it's the gospel of the gift. So enjoy it. People say, well, Keith, well, I'm still screwed up. Well, I'm glad you know it. Hallelujah. But here's the deal. We all have our little humanness, right? Our elements of life where we struggle or have a problem or sin or whatever the issue is. The thing is, just keep beholding the Lamb. And just keep being loved. Keep coming in fellowship. Let the Word just bathe you. Let the worship just wash over you. Let the truth of the gospel of the gift become the truth concerning you. And transition, change, that can happen in God's time. Don't make it an issue that's based on you. Make it something that Jesus is helping you through. This is what He does and what He does very, very well. John 3:16, you all know this verse. You can probably quote it. For God so loved the world, He gave. He gifted His only begotten Son. Jesus is the gift. The Father gifts the gift that whoever believes or receives the gift has the everlasting life. Once you're in, you're wrapped in. You're in Him. He's in you. You're in Him. It's the mystery of our union. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, and you. You're merged. You're gift wrapped. You've received the gift of the Father. And now what happens is Jesus gives you a clue that with the gift the Father gives, there's no negative attachments. No negative attachment. Look at the next verse says, verse 17. For God did not send His Son, the gift, into the world to condemn the world. There's no condemnation attached to the gift. None. You know why a lot of Christian people today in our culture, you know, kind of rebel a little bit or draw back from the things of fellowship with the Father? Because they have a mindset that their relationship with God, and their righteousness with God is based on their capacity. They have a negative attachment in their mindset, and so they're always living under condemnation. They're not good enough. They didn't pray enough. They didn't give enough. They sin too much. Whatever it is, they have a negative attachment of condemnation. But with the gospel of the gift that's indescribable, there's no negative attachments. Now, you all know what a negative attachment is. If you have social media or you use, you know, email or whatever. I remember some time ago, a few months ago, I was home on a Saturday. And I received an email from a bank that said I was frauded of a lot of money. And I thought, oh my, this is the credit card I gave. I gave it to a pastor that I knew who was struggling. And I helped him for about six weeks. And I spent a lot of money to help him. And it was the same card. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm frauded. So in the email, it said, just click here. So I clicked there. Then it said, okay, just give us the code and the number. And I clicked there. And then I saw something that made my spirit like go yikes. Have you ever had your spirit go yikes? Do you need the interpretation for yikes? You can get the interpretation from your pastor. Hallelujah. But yikes means, okay, something's wrong. So I thought, oh no, everything that looked so good was so wrong, and it had a negative attachment, and suddenly everything was compromised. Then it's amazing with negative attachments. It didn't make me say, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've just been defrauded. Hallelujah. No, you know what? The negative, it made me mad. I got up. I was furious. I started pacing. And I think about it. I'm a nice guy. Listen, I'm a gospel preacher. I'm supposed to have self-control and discipline and watch my tongue. But I was furious. I started calling people, calling my staff, trying to get somebody to help me this. And my wife, who was in the room, she saw me. And I didn't look too wonderful. Thank God she's not here, because if she was here, she'd want to testify. But thank God she can't testify. Hallelujah. In other words, I absolutely went berserk because of a negative attachment. This is why a lot of people don't visit our churches. It's why they don't want to keep company with us. Because they think we carry a bondage of negative attachments. Of what they have to do to qualify, what they have to do to be approved. I think we have to present the gospel so astonishing that the love of the Lamb is enough for everyone everywhere. That Jesus Christ pre-approves us, and let God's love deepen in the soul of a man and a woman where they can rethink their worldview according to the gospel and live according to the character and nature of Jesus Christ. But I'll never forget what negative attachments can do to me. And religious attachments. Man, for many, many years, even preaching the gospel, before I was addicted to the love of the Father. I've been so addicted to the love of the Father the last dozen years that my whole worldview, my whole thinking has shifted and changed. It's no more merit-based mindsetted. It's the gospel of the gift. It's indescribable. It's the love of the Lamb. And Jesus Christ, the gift the Father gives, says there's no negative attachments in Him. Just rest in Him. Let the gift wrap you. Let the Father stand on the porch and open the arms and look your way. And as a prodigal, you turn and let Him wrap you. Let Him tell you you always belong in His house. Let Him tell you everything He has is yours. Let Him tell you He's got nothing against you. And when you start confessing all your sins to Him, let Him tell you to shut up. That's what the Father did to the prodigal. Accept the love of the Father and believe you're redeemed. Accept the love of the Father and believe I am the righteousness of God. And I've received it as a gift. And it's a gift alone. I was as righteous before God in my failure as I am when I'm preaching, supposedly being such a nice guy. I'm righteous because of the Lamb. And this is the beauty of the gospel of the gift. God gave Jesus as a gift to you, and then Jesus, He re-gifts you to God. Jesus gives you as a gift to God. Jesus says this in John 17. In His high priestly prayer, verses 19, He talks about, Father, as you, those you've given me, you've gifted to me. He said, I give them back to you. Jesus re-gifts us to the Father. You are gift worthy. Stop minimizing yourself based on yourself. Stop having the worldview of yourself be yourself. Let the worldview of you be the Lamb. You are gift wrapped. You are that loved. Just for you. Just because of you. God's got nothing against you. He put everything that was against us on Christ. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Let me show you something kind of cool. John chapter 4, verse 10. Are you all still glad you're here? Look at this. John 4, 10. Jesus meets this woman at the well. Remember this story? This lady, you know, she didn't have a very good spiritual resume. She was married 5 times. Think she had some war stories to tell? Don't say everybody died. I think she lost confidence in marriage. She might be a Me Too spokesman in our culture. Who knows? We don't know all the nuances of her life, but we know this. She had trouble. And so what she needed a conversation with a gift that pre-approved her based on the work of another. And so Jesus, the gift, sits with her and talks with her. And He says something in John 4:10. Look at this. Jesus answered and said to the little lady. She was married 5 times, remember. And now she lost confidence in the institution of marriage. So she was just shacking up. Yeah, she was cohabiting. And Jesus never told her it was wrong. Jesus never condemned her. Think of that. That's different than the way we think, isn't it? But Jesus, in this situation, did not condemn her. Jesus loved her. Jesus had a conversation with her. Jesus said to the little lady, if you knew the gift of God. See, the gospel of the gift can be known. It can't be fully verbalized. There's no words because it's indescribable, but it can be absolutely sensed deep in your soul that you validate. You validate with an amen. You validate with I'm in. You validate with agreeing with God's view of you instead of your view of yourself. You believe God's view of you in Christ is the truth concerning you. So she said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, the gift who's speaking unto you, you would ask of me the gift, and the gift would give you whatever you need. The best thing for your prayer life is to be gift-minded. Not time-minded, not merit-minded, not burdensome-minded. Have your conversations with the gift of God with joy. If you knew the gift of God, you would ask of the gift, and the gift would give you whatever you need. Life from a different substance source. Like you all say here at Mountview, life on a different level. It's all gift-based. If you knew the gift of God. This little lady got so excited, it says, she returned to her own village. She gathered all the men. Read the whole story. It's John 4. It's a good assignment this afternoon. Read all of John 4. And she has a conversation. She called all the men. And she says, hey, I met a man. And they said, oh, no, not another one. And they said, no, this guy must be the Messiah man. Because he told me everything about myself. Can you imagine Jesus sitting across the table from you? You're having a cup of coffee. And Jesus tells you everything about you. Could you handle it? Do you think if Jesus told you every sin of your heart, every motive of your heart, every negative thing, every sinful act, do you think you could handle it? I think you could. Because I think you'd be surprised with what he says. The Bible said that she said, he told me everything about myself. And it didn't discourage her. It propelled her. The gift releases you of trying to approve yourself before God based on you. The gift tells you you've been covered because of the work of the one. The gift tells you I've got nothing against you. So it motivated her to testify, and she witnessed without using Bible verses. She witnessed without telling anybody that God was against him and going to send him to hell. She witnessed with the revelation that the gift has brought her life. I'll tell you what, precious friend, I think there's got to be a way to connect in our society today, to connect in our world today with the gospel of the gift that's astonishing, that tells people who they are from God's perspective, that the gift of righteousness is here for all of us. This really is what missions to me is all about. Just revealing the gospel of the gift. And this is the beauty where faith rises in the hearts of people and they just accept it. They receive it. They believe it. And they step into the beauty of what God has for them. Let me show you one other verse and I'm all done. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Are you all still glad you're here? Huh? Look here. 1 Peter, go ahead, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Can you do that? Hallelujah. Glory. All this Christmas season, I want you to believe, I want you to have it as a declaration, have it as a confession. I am gift wrapped. Believe it. Believe it that God sees you in Christ. I tell you, it's the only way you'll ever breathe easy on your worst day and on your so-called best day, because most of us always measure ourselves by ourselves. But your Father doesn't. He measures you based on Jesus. Then look at this. As each one has received a gift. As each one has received. Not as some of you have received it. As each one has received a gift. As each one has received a gift. Trigger it. Activate it. See, if you understand that you're a gift, as Jesus was a gift, you respond to your friends, your family, your enemies from gift consciousness. True love is gift-based. That's the only way that this guy can love my enemies, and I've got plenty. I got plenty of enemies.
The only way I can deal with it and love my enemies is understand the gospel of the gift is for them as much as it is for me. As much as it is for me. And I've got to find a way to announce the news in a way they can swallow it and digest it and feed on it. That's why I love to take communion and tell people, this is God's truth concerning you. Believe it. Swallow it. It's the beauty of the Lamb. As each one has received a gift, trigger it or minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Grace is God's favor toward you that's not based on you. Grace is God's favor toward you based on Jesus. And that's why Paul said, hey, you can receive daily, take time, receive an abundance of grace. Receive the gift of righteousness. Then you'll reign in life. If you take time to believe that you're gifted by God because he gift wrapped you, you're not only presented to the Father by Jesus, so to speak, re-gifted to the Father, but you're a gift in the world. As long as you're in your human body and you're still sucking air, you've got great significance here. You got great meaning. You know what you should do? You should just take time to be loved. Be loved by the Father. Keeps your heart tender. It stops you from being angry at somebody. You get your mindset out of the retaliation business. And you let the love of the Father so seep into your system. It changes your own view of you, where you begin to like yourself. You begin to understand your spouse through the love of the Father. You begin to understand your kids or grandkids in their brokenness. And you accept them as they are. The beauty of the gift is the thrill. It's indescribable. But this is what God gave you in Christ and what Jesus gave to the Father. You. You are gift worthy. Now trigger it. Use it just by the grace of God. Did you like the word today? Give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Gift wrapped. You know, I was telling your pastor, I was preaching last weekend. My wife, for the last, this is the fourth week since she had both knees replaced. So I've been the head nurse 24/7. I've not taken any meetings. I've not gone to the office. I've just been the nurse every day, 24/7. And I've been fired every day. The problem is Heidi doesn't have another good option. So that means when I leave here, I go home and I regain my nursing duties until Wednesday when I go to the Philippines. So we'll have people from the office come and help her while I'm gone. But I want your heart to be warmed today. Last week when I was flying to Seattle on the plane, Alaska Airlines, from Burbank to Seattle, Tacoma, I just had the thought of being gift-wrapped. Gift-wrapped. It's a different way to understand the gift. It's not just God's gift to you, but it's understanding yourself as re-gifted to God. Believe you're gift worthy. You say, well, Keith, I'm so messed up. I still sin. I do this. I do that. Don't be so hard on yourself. Just believe that the gift wraps you. Put your faith in Jesus and trust him. All is well with the Father concerning you because it's not based on your merit or your morals. It's based on the love of the Lamb. And this is where you have the strength and confidence to change some of your issues. Like even me, you know, in my great 35 years of mutual faith, man, I still blow it. I blow it, I blow it, I blow it. Boy, I get angry. And I'm a nice guy. I say things I've heard my mouth say, and I think, my, I'm that deeply angry. But I know something about the gospel that's indescribable. I'm gift-wrapped. And so are you. So are you. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Can you do that? Just lift your hands to heaven, or if that makes you uncomfortable, just put your hands on your heart. Father, these are your kids. Bless them. Refresh them. Let them receive the gift of righteousness. Let them believe that their standing before you is not based on them, but it's truly based on the gift that's indescribable. Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We have been included. Help us to believe and help us to receive. Father, I pray that today you just deepen people's commitment to you. Friend, if you're sitting there and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you don't got to walk forward today. You don't got to do nothing, but deep in your heart, just say, I believe. I receive the gift of Jesus. I believe. I receive the gift of Jesus. I believe. I receive the gift of Jesus. Just say that deep in your heart. Father, I ask today that you heal people from hurt, from headache, from heartache, from pain. Father, I ask that you liberate us from fears and the calculations of the flesh. Father, I thank you that we are redeemed. I thank you for healing our physical bodies, that the righteousness of Jesus grants us perfect peace before the Father. We don't have to struggle. We don't have to try harder. We don't have to be better. We don't have to do more. Jesus, we can rest in the gospel of the gift. Thank you. That's our motivation. That's why we do things. That's why we give. That's why we can love. That's why we can reach out. That's why we can pray. We're motivated to do just because we know we're loved. We know we're redeemed. Thank you, Father, for this great church. Thank you for Pastor Steve and Pastor Doty. Thank you for the whole team. Thank you for every family planted in this place. I thank you for doing great work among us this day. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. God bless you all.